Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We are to endure hardship like good soldiers, not losing heart when difficult things come your way. There's two things that can be happening. The enemy could be attacking to try to get you off your game so you are not effective in the spiritual realm. And God may be hardening you. God allows us to go through difficulties because God's doing things inside of each one of us that makes us more effective in the midst of the battle.
When trials come, it's not always spiritual warfare, but when it is, we want to make sure we're equipped to be victorious in the battle because of the power we have in Jesus' name. Here comes part two of our opening study in our series, Combat Zone, out of Ephesians chapter 6. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
When we become fearful in the battle, it keeps us from what God wants us to do. Like a military commander giving orders to his troops for battle, this isn't a suggestion, but it's a command. Be strong in the power of the Lord. General Douglas MacArthur once said, "In war, there is no substitute for victory." And we've already been guaranteed victory. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. Warren Wiersbe, who was a tremendous radio pastor and wrote many great books, was the first one that I ever heard say, "We are not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory." And that's the truth. As long as we're in the battle, that's what matters. We will win if we are in the battle. The outcome, we already know how it's going to turn out, but we just need to be in the battle. Now let's consider why strength is commanded. Spiritual warfare requires it. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." When soldiers are going into battle, they aren't expecting comfort. They're expecting things to be hard. They're expecting things to be difficulty. You just take whatever, you know, you get thrown at you. If it's a storm, if it's rain, if it's cold, you just take it. And we are to endure hardship like good soldiers, not losing heart when difficult things come your way. There's two things that can be happening. The enemy could be attacking to try to get you off your game so you are not effective in the spiritual realm. And God may be hardening you. God allows us to go through difficulties because God's doing things inside of each one of us that makes us more effective in the midst of the battle. 1 Corinthians 16:13 and 14 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." And so love becomes our call. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to love one another. That's the battle cry of the church. We are walking in love. In fact, the church of Ephesus had lost their first love. You remember in the book of Revelation? And God said, "If you don't repent and repeat and do your first works again, love me like that, then I'm going to remove your candlestick." What he meant was, "I'm taking my presence from the church." Do you know what word in the Greek is used for love there? There's four words for Greek, and three of them can be applied to God: sterge, phileo, and agape. And phileo is that friendship love. Sometimes when we think I've fallen out of love with God or I've left my first love, we think of that friendship love. But it's the word agape. And agape is a decision to love. So if you've left your first love and you no longer love God, then you can say, "God, I will love you." You can say it now, even as I'm talking. You can say, "Lord, I think I've left my first love, but I will love you. I am committed to you. I will stand with you and I will love you." You make a decision to do it. That's the same kind of love that husbands are told to love their wives with. And it's really funny too, because wives are told to be friendly to their husbands. It's not that women aren't supposed to love their husbands. It's just interesting that God says to men, "Husbands, love your wives. Agape them. Make that decision to love them." And women, be nice to your husbands. That's kind of what God says. We all are supposed to love one another, but that's the battle for us. It is walking in love. Everything in the kingdom, there's this inversion principle in the kingdom of God, where what we do is different than in the world. You don't go out into battle and love your enemies, but we are told to love our enemies and to pray for those who spitefully use you. Sometimes people will come up to me and they'll say, this is happening at work and this person's really coming after me and I don't know what to do. And I would say, would you say they're spitefully using you? Yes, exactly. They're spitefully using me. Well, then Jesus said to love them. Now, it's a little hard to take when it becomes that personal, right? We can read it at a certain level, but when it becomes that personal. Now, when you are strong, you are ready. Isaiah 35:4 says, say to those who are fearful, be strong and don't fear. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand in faith, be brave, and be strong. Not only are we to be strong, but this is to be strong in the strength of the Lord. It's not our own strength that's going to win. If I'm going to fight against a demonic force, I'm not going to do it under the power of Robert Furrow. I would lose, and I know I would lose. That's why when people start talking about bossing demons around and telling them what to do, in a church that I went to, I had one person tell me, we lived in Albuquerque, he said, I tell the devil every day that he needs to climb up to the top of the crest, which is the Sandia Mountains that are there, and climb back down again. That keeps him busy. He can't harass people. And I've got the power to tell Satan what to do. Somehow I think you're confused about what kind of power you have. If you think that Satan's going, man, he's making me climb the Sandia crest again, you know? That's not what spiritual warfare is all about. We can, by faith, get a hold of what God is saying to us, but we need to be strong in the Lord. That's what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You may have a really good toaster in your house, but if that toaster isn't plugged in, it's not going to toast, no matter what. You may be like a really super powerful spiritual toaster, but if you're not plugged into God, you're not making toast, not doing anything. You got to be plugged in to God to see the power of God used in your life. That's the idea. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Our victory is through Christ. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's the spirit of God moving inside of us. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul had a weakness that he was worried about. And God told him, it was a thorn in the flesh that he had prayed that it would be removed. And Paul said, my strength is perfected in weakness. Even in our weakness, God can be strong. God even uses our weakness in the same way. We are often like a small child trying to lift a heavy rock with their dad standing right there. All they need to do is say, Dad, can you help me lift the rock? We're like that. We're like out there doing it. And we forget that we have a heavenly Father, that we've been told we can ask the Father in the name of Jesus and we'll receive whatever we have asked, if it's according to his will. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. We forget the source of our power is being connected to God and being right with him. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. It's when you trust in him. It's when you have that faith that you say, I believe you and I'm trusting in you that you're helped. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help to uphold you with my righteous right hand. What incredible promises from God. Fear not, for I'm with you. Everywhere you go, you're there. But everywhere you go, God is there with you as well. David said, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? And Jesus, when he left, when he ascended into heaven, one of the last things he said is, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China for 54 years. He's a tremendous missionary, by the way, and did a great work in China. Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. I'm going to read that again because I think it's the real wisdom of someone who walked with God for a long time, who did things for God. God's work done God's way will never lack supply. When you're doing it for God, when you're doing it according to the scriptures that God's given us, you will never lack for supply. Chuck Smith used to say, where God guides, God provides. And I don't know how many of us Calvary Chapel guys learned that from the very beginning. You don't have to go out and beg people for money. Where God guides, God provides. God's going to provide the way. And if he doesn't provide it, then okay, you move on. That's why when we started the church here in 1985, I had a business in Albuquerque. We came out to start the church here, and I would say to people, we're just coming out to see what God's going to do. We just want to see what God's going to do. We didn't come out and say, we're going to start a church. The church is going to be this big. And I've had people tell me that before. I had a lunch with a guy that was going to Texas somewhere to start a church. And we're sitting at lunch and he tells me, God told me that I'm going to have a church of 2,000 people. I said, oh, okay. And inside I thought, I really wish I wouldn't have come to lunch. I don't know what God told him, but I'll tell you what, maybe God told him that. But there are things you don't tell people. There are things like Mary, remember? She kept it in her heart. There are things you keep in your heart. And when God reveals that he's going to do something really powerful through you, you keep that in your heart and you let God do it. And then you know God was the one who did this. I've shared before that my faith during the early years, once we realized that there was going to be a church here, my faith for the first year and a half of praying was, Lord, if you make this church 300 people, then it'll be the best loved 300 people that'll ever be on the face of this earth. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And God does do that. Now, how do we get this strength? We know that God's with us. We know that we want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We know we want to battle in his name. We know when we're doing his work in his name, as Seth Taylor said, we're getting God's supply to be able to do that work. In 1 John 5:4, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So that's a pretty direct passage. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world, and this is our victory, faith. Faith is believing God enough to do what he says. That's faith. Now, that's my own little definition, but I think it's really good. Faith is when God says something in the scriptures, and you go, I believe him and I trust him and I have faith in him, so I'm going to do what it says. The Bible says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear the word of God and the more you do what it says, that's when faith is produced. And it's that faith that gives us our victory. That's what it says, right? 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that we have overcome the world, our faith. Now, 2 Corinthians 2:14, we're talking about how we get this power now. It says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Praise be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Are you in Christ? We'll ask, is Christ in you often? But the Bible says, perhaps even more, that we are in Christ. Remember the first chapter in the book of Ephesians? Do you remember how often it said, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ? We are in him, making sure that we are remaining in him, that our purposes are his purposes, that we don't get sidetracked by the schemes of the enemy. The Bible says, and we'll look at this passage closely, the Bible says, we are not unaware of the schemes of the devil. Now, Paul wrote that, but I think I'm afraid today people are unaware of the schemes of the devil. They give him schemes that he doesn't have, and they don't see how Satan's attacking the church, attacking our family, attacking our friends, attacking our children. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that's a great verse. That's a verse that people say, that's my favorite verse. When you ask them, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? Well, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in that verse, we generally think of doing great things for God, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know what Paul was talking about? You know what the context of that is? His own personal struggle with covetousness. Paul says right before that, I've learned to abound and I've learned to abase. I've learned to have a lot and I've learned to have little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's saying, I've learned in every situation, whether it's a blessing or whether it's a struggle, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So whatever struggle there is in your life, whatever the devil would condemn you in, because he is the deceiver, he is the accuser, and whatever he would try to condemn you in Christ, there is no condemnation, and you think, I can't overcome this, I want you to know you can, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that becomes far more applicable than the pie in the sky, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Add in whatever, you know, great thing you would like to do for God. But that the struggles that you face are promised by God to be defeated. And Paul made that statement, and it's so very powerful. Now, let me give you a D.L. Moody quote. I've quoted a few people tonight, but D.L. Moody is my favorite. He was a chaplain during the Civil War. He had a Sunday school class in Hell's Kitchen, Chicago. He had gotten some of the kids who were the roughest kids that he could find, and he brought them around kind of as a bodyguard, because in his lifetime, Hell's Kitchen, maybe it's a dangerous place today too, I don't know, but it was dangerous then. And he had over 1,500 kids. All he was doing was Sunday school at this point. He just started a Sunday school in Hell's Kitchen, Chicago, and he had 1,500 kids come out to it. Abraham Lincoln heard of what he was doing and decided to stop by. And he was instructed by the handlers of Abraham Lincoln, don't have him speak. You can introduce him to the kids, but don't have him say anything. So when D.L. Moody got up, D.L. Moody said, kids, we've got a special guest here today. The President of the United States is here, and he's going to lead you in your Bible study today. And he stepped away, and Abraham Lincoln had to come over and lead all the kids in the Bible study. That's the kind of thing that D.L. Moody would do. If you were another pastor and you went to the Illinois, Chicago, Illinois church, you tried to hide because, all right, Tori talks about this. A few of the other pastors from today talk about going to hear D.L. Moody speak at his church. And when D.L. Moody sees them, says, guess what? R.A. Torrey is doing our study today. Come on up, welcome him, please. He would just have them study. So you'd go having something prepared when you went. Well, D.L. Moody, let me get back to his quote here. God's strength isn't given merely for our comfort, but for the kingdom advancement and spiritual impact in our world. Let me read it again, because again, there's something very profound about this statement from a man who was used as a pastor, as an evangelist. When the church burned down, he turned to be an evangelist. And up to that time, he spoke to more people in person than ever before. Billy Graham would eventually outdo him. But he says, God's strength isn't given merely for our comfort, but for the kingdom, advancement, and spiritual impact on our world. Now, the call to be strong in the Lord is not optional for believers. We're not being asked to be strong, but we're commanded to be strong. We need to figure out what we got to do to make sure that we're spiritually strong, or we shouldn't even be broaching this topic. We should be going, I'm going to just hide and let other people handle it. But you have been given the strength to be able to do this. This strength comes not from human effort, but complete dependence on God. We are dependent on him. And when we're strong in him, we become vessels for the victory and the kingdom impact for our world. It's Seth Gruber who said, maybe the culture war is a proxy war for the spiritual war. Maybe the enemy is attacking in these things. And we as Christians need to stand strong in the midst of it. The enemy's taking people down in the most bizarre ways, making them believe the most bizarre things, and people are believing it. Evaluate the source of your strength and depend on the Lord. Now, let me give you three thoughts in closing, which is where I was at here. Number one, evaluate the source of your strength. Are you depending on yourself or on the Lord? And if you're not strong in the Lord, then now is the time to get strong in him. Because for 11 weeks, from the next 11 weeks, we're going to be talking about the spiritual battle that's taking place, what the Bible has to say about it, what Satan can and can't do, what we as believers can and can't do, how we overcome him, and how we overcome his work in the lives of someone else. Number two, make an effort to delight in the Lord every day. Delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible says, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is how you overcome behavioral issues. This is how you overcome strongholds. If you delight in the world, you're going to be desiring the things of the world. But if you delight in the Lord, he's going to give you the desires of your heart, which is going to be delighting in God. If you endeavor to delight in God tomorrow more than you do today, and the next day more than the next day, then there will be God moving in your life in a powerful way. Number three, look for opportunities to exercise this divine strength in advancing the kingdom. Look for ways that God can use you. Look for open doors to be able to share your faith, to plant some seeds, to water, that God might add the increase in the future. Make yourself available to God. Say to him, I'm here, I'm yours, I'm available. I remember hearing a sermon from Pastor Chuck back when I was a teenager, and he talked about billboards driving down the road and seeing billboards that had now available signs across them. And Chuck saying to God, I'm available, God, whatever you want. That's really what we need to do. Lord, I'm available. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know how you want to use me, but I'm available. God, right here, and use me. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we do pray that you would help us, that we might be able to stand strong in you, not in ourselves, but in you. Help us to depend completely on your might and to use your strength for your glory. Make us vessels of your victory in our world. Lord, we pray that you would help us to overcome the struggles that we have in our lives, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. One of the enemy's schemes, and we know this, is in accusations that we are not worthy to be used by you. And the truth is, none of us are. But we are filled with your Spirit. We are chosen by you. We are empowered by you. And I pray that we would make a stand and that people, individuals, would be set free and find eternity because we make a stand to be strong in you. We pray that you would bless the rest of our study as we go over the armor of God, and that through it all, we would be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app. on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.